for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culture PlayStation podcast. Over 50 years of playing PlayStation and like 10 plus years in their games. Meaning goodbye, I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. in podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those you choose. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come and check out our socials. Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If which is on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. So if you want to support us financially, you can patreon.com/popcultures. So, once again, everyone, updates. As you know, we discussed this last week. We will now be releasing episodes on Tuesday morning, live recording on a Monday night over on Twitch for 2025. It just makes more sense with our life and how our weekends have changed over the 300 and something episodes that we've done this show. I would have loved to have kept it on the same Monday like forever, but we ended up moving them a bunch anyway, and I don't see my weekends quietening down anytime soon, and I imagine you're the same. So, you know, how are you finding like that transition though, Max? Are you feeling it?
Well, I mean, it never really bothered me too much because Sunday night's a work night for me, Monday night's a work night for me. My schedule is pretty much the same. It was mainly it was just handy for you for those times that you had late commitments on Sundays.
Yeah, and
made life a bit easier. You didn't have to rush back and...
Well, yeah, because whether it be dropping off my son and then working a wrestling show on like a matinee on a Sunday, it gets me home. You know, like last night, because this would be in the second week of the year that we've recorded, I did enjoy a really chill-ass Sunday last night. It was awesome. And like it actually felt like I relaxed at the end of my weekend, which is really, really cool. So there is certainly some improvements to the transition to the Monday. But saying that though, because I've spent so long, like what, 5 years, 6 years, being so used to it all going down on a Sunday, it does throw my week. I'm like, oh, I'm going to record tonight. Wait, but it's Monday. And like, that's normally the indicator of my week ending rather than starting. So getting into that mindset is a whole new thing. But Max, you faced some challenges this week.
I did.
Your headphones died, and yep, you work overnights by yourself as a cleaner, and that vacuum and shit is way too loud, but your headphones shit themselves.
Yeah.
And you were then forced to go into a time machine.
I was forced to use this. For those not watching the video, I'm holding up my iPod Classic from when I was like 14.
How many gigabits is this bad boy?
Oh, this is the 160.
Oh, the big bastard like is mine. Mine's downstairs in the garage, like with my gym setup, so I can't put mine up.
So,
how has that been for you?
Well, here is some of the juicy songs from my top 25 most played songs.
I'm pretty sure my number one is Good Life by Kanye with T-Pain. I think Blue Blooded by Hilltop Hoods is up there.
Yeah, my number one song is Reptile's theme song by Skrillex from Mortal Kombat.
Okay.
Followed closely by Nine in the Afternoon by Panic at the Disco.
Okay, that's a good tune. Not, and most definitely not one of Panic's best songs, but okay.
Blood Red Sandman by Lordy.
Good old Lord. Oh, well, that certainly ages it. That's like, what, 2006?
A bunch of Disney songs.
That doesn't surprise me.
Daft Punk.
Which one?
Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger.
Good pick. Good one. Nice.
I'm Gonna Be by The Proclaimers. The I Will Walk 500
miles. I'm very aware, but my face and pause is who would want to listen to that enough times? Like, I understand there's a whole episode about How I Met Your Mother.
I'm pretty sure I have a playlist called The Two Greatest Songs in the World, and that's one of them.
And what's the other one?
I don't know. Let's have a look. And the rest is a stream of... apparently, it's Party Rock Anthem by Alan Fan.
I'm aware of your love for that song, and it's weird. I know how much you love
and,
that song.
And the rest of it is just a series of mashups that were part of the Mashup Your Boots yearly quotas. So essentially, back in like the early 2000s, a bunch of DJs would get together and release an annual album called Mash Up Your Boots, where they would mash up like the top trending songs.
Oh, it's kind of like the old skits mixes and stuff, right?
Yeah, probably. So there's the likes of like we've got the Pulp Fiction theme song mixed with something else. We've got Whistle World, Jump on the Fifth, so Jump and Beethoven's Fifth Symphony.
What do you mean, Jump by like Van Halen?
No,
that's a different song. Jump, like Pointer Sisters. All right.
We've got Hit and Drop on All the Single Ladies.
Okay. Well, Single Ladies, that came out like 2008.
Billie Jean on the Storm.
Oh, it did come out in 2008. Well, on a good note, that means your iPod is not as old as you once envisioned.
No.
Because you said it was about 14. At 2008, you would have been 18.
Yeah.
Because I was in my first year of uni at that point, and you're a year younger than me.
Yeah. So there's a lot of just absolute...
Oh, don't get me wrong. My iPod doesn't get updated past 2011. So, like, it's a joy.
But... at one point, one of the playlists that I was listening to has every single version of the Hymn of the Faith from Final Fantasy X.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm such a nerd, I can tell which one it is just by the different vocalist.
Nerd.
Yeah.
But because my music taste hasn't drastically changed over the last 20 years.
Mine hasn't really either, I must admit. But I much prefer listening to audiobooks and podcasts now while I'm at work. I find that music, I feel unproductive when I'm just listening to music, whereas I feel like I'm accomplishing something to a degree if I'm listening to or consuming information via either an audiobook or a podcast. Even if I've listened to that audiobook before, I feel like I'm still like using my time wisely.
In the chat, Mute, one of our regular contributors, has jumped in and they've said, I wish they made the iPod still. I just want music and not connected to a stream or phone. And you still can. Like, you can buy, like, an iPod Touch or whatever. And you can... Like, they're hard to come by. Like, the classics are hard to come by. But there are ways at which you can make your phone into a... Like a... Or a device into an iPod-like device.
Yeah. Because obviously Apple's... Keep your old iPhone when you upgrade, and then you've got a really big iPod Touch.
There you go. Yeah, and this is my old phone is way full of grunt than my iPod was. The only downside is I can't update my iPod anyway. So when I transitioned from my old computer to my new computer, I kind of fucked up, I think, the transfer. Because like when I opened iTunes, it's like, I'm like, but all the files are here. And it's like, yeah, but we're missing the one that says this existed before. Shit. It's fine. I have no desire to update it. I like it being a time capsule. You know, it's good. It's fun. It's nice. But apart from that, man, what's been going on?
My new headphones arrived today, so yeah. I'm back on that podcast bandwagon.
What'd you pick up? Anything fancy?
I just got JBL Waves.
Oh, yeah, because you like the in-ears when you're working, don't you?
I just used my Telstra point, so it cost me nothing.
Yeah, so I used to... I know we're talking about how this stuff... We do talk about PlayStation eventually, I promise. Like, I used to live on in-ears, right? Like, not just, like, in my ear, but, like, those little suction-y doohickey going... Like, they were the ones I listened to all through high school. And then, I don't know, I hit a point where I'm like, the idea of that, like, it just gives me, like, almost like a compression headache. It's like even when I got some with the idea of going to the gym, right? I'd sit them in so then I could, you know, it wouldn't be so bulky. But then I found that like every step, like a doo, doo, it resonates different than like a over ear headphones.
Because I'm moving around so much and bending down constantly, I need something that's going to stay in my ear.
Yeah, because if this doesn't lock in and then shifts, it'd be frustrating. Plus, it's bulky, and I assume you're not supposed to listen to music when you're working. So, like, if they were to see you walking with big honking headphones on, they'd
probably... No one would ever see me. I mean, no one would ever.
I mean, on security camera footage, something, if they ever decided to look and find you sleeping on a couch with headphones on.
Nah, so because of the nature of the location that I work, they can't have security cameras facing anything but...
Oh, because government, that's right.
Exit doors. Yeah.
So you just take it off, walk through the door.
So, yeah, so as long as I'm not, like, passed out in front of the exit, I'm fine.
Which brings up many other concerns greater than your headphone usage, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But other than that, man, how's your week been? What's going on?
It was fine. Went to Williamstown on the weekend with the children to see some of Ellie's extended family. Went to the Botanic Gardens. It was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you? What have you been doing?
What did I do? Not a whole lot, really, from memory. I worked a wrestling show on the weekend. Oh, shocker. Had a job interview today. That was fun. Yeah, I thought I'd like give it a burl. Fuck it, why not? And see where it would take me. Not that I'm unhappy in my job at the moment. It's just, it suited my previous work history and things I enjoy and love. And I was like, yeah, fuck it, why not? And the best thing about it, Max, is the job had a video application. So rather than just putting your resume in a CV, which is fine, but like I look reasonably cool on paper, but I'm way more like entertaining in video. Like it allowed me to sort of like throw my personality in it and put all my little fucking tism bullshit in it and just kind of really give it like some pizzazz, not with like hard cuts and like, well, that would have been funny though. It just gave me like what I would believe an upper hand. Whether it does or not, I don't know. I'll find out at the end of the week, I assume. But, yeah, it was just a cool little thing. And I know that it's like it's used in some places, you know, they do like, video applications, but I don't know, first one I've ever done it for, and I'm fucking grateful. Because the second I pull up a video and it's got this in the background.
Did you not have to do one for EA?
What, a video interview?
Yeah, no. Ali did a video application for EA.
You gotta remember, I when I worked at Energy Australia, I worked there 10 years before she did, 6, 7 years before she did, or however many years. Like, you know, in a post-COVID world, it makes sense. But yeah, I was like early days. Mm. But it was cool. I enjoyed it. It was fun. And yeah, when the second I boot up any phone call or video and people see this behind me, they go, oh, I'm like, yes, got your attention immediately.
And then they're just like, we fucking hate PlayStation.
They're like, oh my God, this guy's got so much shit. I'm like, I do.
He's not going to do work. He's just going to play games. Fuck that guy.
That's what I do now. No. But yeah, so this job isn't working from home. So if I do happen to get it, I'm going to be able to leave the house again, Max.
Boo.
No, it's a mixed. It's a mixed emotions. Like a mission. I have a feeling the transition out from working from home to leaving my house again will be a bit. It'll take me a little while to catch up, I think. But I don't know. Like I have got quite... not complacent, but like there's a routine to my day now that doesn't change because I wake up and I fuck around and then I come downstairs and I sit at this desk and I edit videos and I make, and then I'll go make a video and whatever. And then I go, oh, it's 5 o'clock. And then I'll just play a game at my desk. I won't even leave my desk. And, you know, so like, and then I'm like, oh, well, I guess I'm done for the day. And then I just walk to the other end of the house. Or I'll go down to the gym, which I didn't do today. I got a bit of a headache, so I wasn't fucking feeling it. But it's also hot as balls. So hopefully tomorrow it chills out and I'm able to get back into the game. But be able to leave the house. I'm intrigued. I'm excited. Should be good. But yes, it will absolutely impact my ability to play games during the day, which I do commonly on my lunch break. But what about you, Max? What have you been playing this week?
The same two games as last week, actually. Mm-hmm. So I am still playing POE 2. It is still awesome. And as we spoke about in our preview content last week, we are playing Kingdom Come Deliverance 2. I am still playing that.
Yeah, and now have you passed the point at which we... Because as part of the preview coverage, there is a particular time point which we can't discuss. And of course, they are very secretive as the game's not coming out till, another 2-3 weeks.
No, I'm not. I'm almost there.
Yeah. I'm not there yet either. I keep getting distracted and just getting mugged.
I'm what feels like a stone's throw away, but no, I also keep getting distracted going, ooh, what is this over here? And then that leads me on like a ginormous subplot. I'm like, okay, cool. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. And for the nature of preview coverage, we won't elaborate on the game too much further today, just because we did it last week. And as we've played more of it, I fear that we're going to cross that line into things we can't discuss, or we may get a little too intricate about particular things, and I'm just worried of that information hitting that line or crossing that line. But let me think about myself. So what have I played this week? I played Kingdom Come quite a bit. We've started a new. Even though, my understanding is that WWE 2K25 will likely be coming out in the next 3 months, probably around April, May. We did start up a new GM mode again in recent weeks. It was one of the staples of our 2023. 2024 we did quite a bit, but with WWE 2K24. They did change the GM mode a little bit in some ways that we enjoyed, but also in some ways that we disliked. So it didn't like jump on us and grab us as much last year. So knowing that 2025 is around the corner, we thought, let's get back into it. So we created a new run with myself, my partner Phoebe, and a good friend Craig. And we're just going to rerunning it again. But we've kind of altered it so that it's more in line with how we played in 23. So we got a new belt because obviously, we picked belts. I know Max, you give no shits. I'm going to tell you anyway.
No, sorry, I got distracted.
No, just in general. I'm just acknowledging that you don't care about wrestling belts.
No, I enjoy the way you guys interact and play with the GM mode. I think it's cool. I think it is quite fascinating. But no, I got totally thrown off because apparently. Spoilers, EB Games is having another sale.
Oh, yeah?
And they're having like one of those tight-ass Tuesday, one-day-only sales.
Ooh.
And they're selling packs of Pokemon cards for fucking $1. So I'm actually... Because Hadley's really into playing Pokemon Pocket TCG. I might go in and spend like $5 and buy a few packs.
I'll go spend like $20. Is this tomorrow?
Yeah, from 10 a.m. They've got like a full box that was like 110. It's like $45.
All right. Please send me that link when we're finished. Or Phoebe, if you're watching in the other room, please remind me to have a look because that'd be awesome. Not that James needs more cards, but... So the difference is... So previously we had what was considered our world championship, which was the WWE title. And that was myself, Phoebe, Craig, and my former housemate, Ange. So that was the world because that was all four of us. And then we had the Intercontinental Championship, which was myself, Phoebe, and Craig, for when we all lived in separate houses and therefore Intercontinental, that was the idea. So with this year, now that Phoebe and I live together, the Intercontinental is no longer relevant. So instead we have gone with the Heavyweight Championship, which is the second main title within WWE. And it was the one I could get on Amazon and I liked it. I wanted to go the Hardcore Championship from back in the day. However, Phoebe was like, it's kind of hideous. I'm like, I know that's kind of the point. And because we played the most absolutely unhardcore, like the most softcore version of GM mode in that we neither... Unless our season goals require us to use cards on one another to like fuck each other over, we don't. Like it's all very collaborative and nice and like, oh, what if you do this and blah, 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 blah. It's fun. But then we do have another setup, another draft where we can just savage each other if we so need. So it does balance out in the end. But I am glad to have that back knowing that, yeah, that we will have... the big reveal at the end of the month, or at least I found, especially with 2K24, GM mode and all its details didn't come out until later in the cycle, closer to release date, where last year, 2024, they showed the campaign, or what was it called, My Rise, and then some of the other parts as well. Knowing that the big reveal is at the end of the month, because what was mentioned on Netflix, I'm very excited. I have reached out to 2K to be like, yo, I'll suck your dick. What do you need? I'll put my mouth on it because I want to, keep doing this. And I grant I've been very lucky over the last X amount of years to still be engaged with 2K, but You know, all my connections have left or got made redundant under that big. Remember when that 2K did their big, like, hey, let's do mass layoffs? Yeah, two of the three people here got done, which sucks.
Yeah, I remember that.
But yeah, I'm very excited for that as a big one. And yeah. But other than that, let me have a look at my phone. Let me see. Thank you for sending me the link. Let's see. I have played a little bit more Balatro, but it's just more me getting mad at it, really, if anything. A little bit more Call of Duty as I've jumped in there. I think we discussed this earlier. Like, I did reinstall Fortnite on the PC. I've played a couple of rounds of no build.
And have I'm you enjoying played, it. Have you played their new game mode?
No, I haven't yet.
That's I think CS, you would
the Counter-Strike one, yeah?
It's been basically Counter-Strike, yeah. It's quite good.
Oh, I might give that a bell. But yeah, look, with the impending release date of Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, that has been what I've spent the majority of my time with. But as we said, we're going to talk about that later. So instead, let's get into the section we call Inform the Players, where we tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. Max, what has happened this week in PlayStation?
Switch 2 was announced. That's what happened.
That is not this week in PlayStation.
But it is arguably the biggest news of the week.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt. Oh, let's talk about it.
So, Friday night, I believe it was. Thursday night? Friday night?
Sorry, I just noticed that in the chat, because we're talking about games, I misread what Big Shep in the chat said. It's like, game? What's a game? But you're game. Oh, God, the Simpsons reference. Shout out, Big Shep.
Was it Friday morning? Thursday morning. One of the mornings at the back end of last week.
Yeah, it was the day that things happened.
They're like, hey, here it is. And they showed us a Dick Tease trailer of the console, showing all its new bits and bobs and how it like magnetically connects and it just has pins sticking out the side of a Joy-Con, which seems dangerous. It looked like Mario Kart 9 was being played. And they're like, hey, backwards compatible, but not every game. So I'm assuming stuff like the Labos aren't going to be because this...
I would probably say things like 1-2 Switch that used the infrared.
Infrared, yeah. Reader, I was getting that as well.
Any peripheral stuff, like was it that... That fitness game where you had to like put it on your thing or even like the Ring Fit. Like any... Yeah, Labo I think is actually genuinely... Anyone still fucking using Labo? It hasn't deteriorated because it's cardboard. Yeah, anything that we've got to like slip the thing in the thing because the first thing you'll notice in the trailer is like bigger screen, bigger Joy-Cons. So it makes sense.
And then at the end they're like, hey, more information in April.
That is fucked, by the way. Like I know what we're gonna, like that is such a long time. And like it's not the release date, it's the date of the direct.
Imagine if it was though. Imagine if the direct was like, hey, they're launching tomorrow.
That's not gonna happen. That'd be suicide. However, I do like it, and I think it was Explosion Network on their show Arcade Couch. They mentioned it in this way, and it does make a lot of sense when you. So this is the trailer that says, "Hey, you should start saving your money." Like this isn't like, "Hey, it's coming. This is what it is." It's like, "Hey, it's real. It's kind of the same, but there are some minor improvements. Start saving your cash," and I like it in that sense. Now I have no interest in buying this because I have a Switch and I barely fucking use it. Now the difference is I bought my Switch on day one because at the time we were covering a lot of things outside of PlayStation. Like we were even kindly invited to one of the first hands-on in the world to go and fuck with Switch, and it was cool and I really enjoyed it. But like now, like I would love to go now just to test it out, but like it's not relevant. And even last time I caught up with the Nintendo reps who I'm still friendly with, they were like, what the, you know, fucking talk to, like, Mom, I haven't heard you. I've heard from you guys in ages. They're like, yeah, look at your arm, dickhead. And I was like, oh yeah, that's true. Here I am with my PlayStation fucking tattoo. It's like, oh yeah, that's probably why we don't talk anymore as much as, you know, cool.
Maybe you need to get like add on to that tattoo and just have like Mario humping the square or something.
I'm sure I could find a way to repurpose the sacred symbols into something tenderly. But even then, look, I just simply don't
care. Into something not so sacred.
Not so sacred. But like I look at this and I go, okay, cool. Screen's bigger, big win. I imagine it's still probably going to be like 1080p. It's probably which is not a bad thing because even on the regular Switch, like that pixel density makes it kind of like, you know, quite nice even at 1080. I presume it will still be OLED because they did the second iteration of the Nintendo of the Switch with the OLED screen. So I'd fucking hope it's OLED, otherwise that'd be a monstrous downscale. I like the new clipping mechanism rather than a rail that you slide down. It like locks in on the side. There is a clip and magnets. My concern is there's a very clearly exposed pin in that gap that's going to get bent the shit out of almost immediately. The kickstand is is just, in every sense of the word, better rather than one piddly little boop. It's this big whole loop of the entire back of the screen. Perfect. Because like you can't do shit with that old stand. Let me think. What else about it? I was having a chat with a friend and listener of the show, MGB, and he was talking about how he has these hopes that he, you know, would like to sort of see the Switch be an equivalent power to... that is a fucking bargain, actually. In our group chat, Max just sends a picture of Octopath Traveler 2 for $5, down from 60 on PS5. That is actually really good.
That's a steal.
That is a straight-up steal. Yell out if you find anything that might interest me as well.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, so he believes that, you know, that it might be in the equivalent power of, like... Well, he's like, maybe it's like the power of a PS5 and a thing because they're working with NVIDIA and this, that, the other. And my belief around the Nintendo Switch is when we look at the Nintendo Switch 1, in the grand scheme of things, its power pretty much sat around a PS3. Like the fact that, you know, The Witcher 3 is running at like 570p just to be a coherent frame rate. Shows that like how low power this is. I think if we're lucky, the Nintendo Switch 2 could be the equivalent of a PS4, maybe a PS4 Pro if we're super lucky. But once again, Nintendo have somehow built their branding and their console, even on their whole platform, to not be about power, but to be more about cool experience, which makes sense. But if I remember having this discussion when the original Switch launched, there will come a time where no one can transfer over. No one can port over, I should say, because it just simply can't run it. Like, I know that Civ 7 is coming to the Switch. I'd fucking hope it's the Switch 2, because it's going to be fucking rough on the first.
Don't forget it is a turn-based game.
But I mean, like, from a graphical intensity. Like, look, remember how butchered Mortal Kombat was on Switch?
Yeah, I don't think that...
Saying that, though, Nintendo can... Like, they know... Because it's their hardware and they know what they're doing. They seem to deliver fucking remarkable experiences. Anything within their first parties, they may not be for me. Like, I'm not a big fan of Zelda. I'm not really a big fan of Mario. I think Mario's pretty done at this point. But they somehow managed to deliver impeccable looking experiences and running experiences. And if that means a new Mario Kart's coming, yeah, that I'm interested in. What about yourself, Max?
I want one.
You want one?
I mean, I don't have a Switch anymore,
Okay, so I was going to say, like, what is enticing you specifically about the idea of getting a Switch?
Oh, I can give it to Hadley and get her off my fucking PlayStation so I can use it more often.
That's pretty good reason.
And her cousins have got a Switch, and when she went out there last week, she played like Wii Bowling and Wii Tennis.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She's like, oh, this is really cool. And I'm like, yes, we used to have one.
And you never used it. She's like, oh, it was two. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah, it'd be cool.
Oh, shit, now you're talking. Sorry, Max just sent me a copy. Farming Simulator 22 Platinum Edition. Whole $5 he does. Hell yeah. Down from 80. Fuck yeah.
Should we move on to PlayStation news now that we've talked enough on Nintendo?
I think so. Look, I said one of the things we discussed about in the ad, which caught my attention, is that like the... I did enjoy the jokes because, you know, the video was like the Switch, the Joy-Cons kind of like darting across the table and I was like drifting around. And I was like, it's already announced the stick drift. I'm like, fucking genius. But I did see someone comment of like, what if that's demonstrative of it being like a mouse?
Yeah.
So it's almost like a mouse keyboard support. What do you think of that? Because once again, like, Nintendo are good for their gimmicks.
No.
Would that open up the experiences that you'd want to play on your Switch? No, of course not. I'm playing off a computer.
Most people play their Switch in handheld. What are they going to do? How are they going to handheld that bitch in a mouse and a keyboard?
That's very true. Oh, well. Gimmicks it is. Next.
PlayStation News. We have the list of games coming to Extra and Premium this month. Kicking things off with God of War Ragnarok, PS5, PS4. Like a Dragon, Gaiden, the Man Who Erased His Name, PS5, PS4. Atlas Fallen, Reign of Sand, PS5. SD Gundam Battle Alliance, PS5, PS4. Sayonara Wild Hearts, PS4. Anno Mutationum, PS5, PS4. Orcs Must Die 3, PS5, PS4. Citizen Sleeper, PS5, PS4. And Poker Club on PS4. And if you're still paying for Deluxe or Premium, you'll get Indiana Jones and the Staff of Kings on PS2 and Medieval 2. Which was PS1, right?
Yeah. Solid. Ragnarok, biggie, obviously. Fan. Love it. Everyone should go fuck with it. If you like it, Yakuza. There's a Yakuza in there as well. Atlas Fallen seems to me. Did you fuck with Atlas Fallen?
We played it. We played it.
Did I play it? I know you did. Yeah. I don't remember playing
it. Yeah, we played it.
Worth grabbing?
Yeah, it was all right.
The other one the name
Sayonara Wild Hearts is good.
I was gonna say Sayonara Wild Hearts is a game sure I hear often.
Pretty sure that's an Annapurna game, right?
Oh, it could be. It is one of those games I hear often. I'm like, oh, now I don't know whether I'd like it or not, but I certainly
it's a rhythm game by Annapurna. Yeah,
a rhythm game, eh? Suddenly I'm I know this one. Yeah, I don't think this is very Betson at all. It is overwhelmingly positive though.
Sayonara Wild Hearts is a dreamy arcade game about riding
skateboarding,
dance, battling, shooting lasers, wielding swords, and breaking hearts. Sounds exactly like you. What do you want about?
Actually, yeah, this looks fun. I was thinking in my head it was more of a JRPG, but that's alright.
No, not at all.
I do like that we get Indiana Jones and the Staff of Kings because it's essentially like we get the Pepsi, the Aldi version, the Timu fucking Indiana Jones game.
One would argue it's the OG, you know, the OG Indiana Jones game.
Well, like we get that pretty soon, like what, 2 months? Not even.
You know,
Medieval 2 is cool. Medieval 1's available. The other Ocean remake was really sick. But yeah, nothing for me really in this month. But like I said, if you're coming in and you've not played God of War or Like a Dragon, or you want to get your tippy toes in Yakuza, you can. I said you quite like Atlas Fallen. It's pretty sweet. Pretty sweet. But it is also nice to know that there are like some games that you can play on PlayStation because there's just the future looks bleak. So let's get into what is objectively like the biggest PlayStation piece of news this week. You know, the Switch, big bit of news, but this is different and big in a couple different ways. And you just called this dead service games, which I quite like. Well done. With another two of Sony's live service PS5 games cancelled and sent to the scrap heap, PlayStation fans and games media have started to truly map out the results of the company's games as a service efforts. Announced a few years ago, the results outside of an unexpected Helldivers 2 success story are incredibly damning. In 2022, Sony announced it had 12 live service projects from first party and partner studios in development. In the time since then, most have been cancelled, and we know of one, two of them. We were informed at PAX by a good friend of ours, and a little bit of inside goss. And it was a game that like no one fucking know about because it never got announced or anything. From what is known, as Sony never publicly named them, as we discussed, here is what is currently known. So there was The Last of Us multiplayer, the Factions potential spinoff. It was cancelled in December of 2023. There was Marvel's Spider-Man The Great Web, which was an incredible, like, there's some cool trailer and some cool imagery, and it was cancelled on an unknown date, but it did get revealed as part of the Insomniac leak or hack in December of 2023. There was the London Studio Live Service game, which was that sort of modern fantasy thing. It looked kind of interesting, which was cancelled and the developer was closed in February of 2024. There was the Twisted Metal re-release or remake or redo. A reboot, I should say, is the word I wanted, which was cancelled in February of 2024. That bounced around a couple different developers from memory. I think there was one that was the team that did Destruction All-Stars. Illuminate? No, Luminous something. Helldivers 2, which did release in February of 2024. There was the Payback Project, and this was from Bungie. That was cancelled in August of 2024. There was Concord, which did release in August of 2024, but then was taken offline in 11 days. There was, as we've come to learn today, this week, there was a live service game from Sony Bend, which were known for Days Gone, Siphon Filter. And then a live service God of War game from Bluepoint. Bluepoint, best known for their remakes and remasters, not commonly their original IP and or live service titles. And we do know that in the near future, we have Fair Games from Haven, which was announced in May of 2023, but is currently still in production. We have Marathon from Bungie, which was announced in 2023 to State of Play, is also still in production. And we are also aware of the Horizon, which is kind of like a unkept secret at this point, is the Horizon Online experience out of NCSoft, as it is currently unannounced, unconfirmed, but it is widely known about. Like, we've even seen some very early alpha gameplay. So of the 12 projects, 7 will never even see the light of day. As you mentioned, we know two of them. Concord is already no longer playable, so you could well increase the total to 8. With a live service title set in the God of War universe being cancelled, it's difficult to have much confidence in something like Fair Games making it to market either. Now, Max, I have some very strong opinions about this because it's what I do. I am unreasonably opinionated. So I'm going to let you jump into this one. How do you feel about either the state of the live service, the initiatives, even something, or even the two games that were cancelled this week, and what that means for the studio or from, you know, go nuts.
Yeah, Jimbo Ryan didn't retire.
He fucking did not. He absolutely did not. Remember when we discussed that? Like, did he? Oh, maybe. Like, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But we were suspicious. And, like, I didn't, we didn't, none of us, neither of you said for certain. Like, we gave it benefit of the doubt. But upon reflection, that motherfucker got kicked.
I don't think the cancellations from Band and Bluepoint are going to do anything to the studios as a whole.
No, they did also confirm that it would not lead, it may not lead, they didn't specify whether it would lead to layoffs, but they did mention that it would not result in any studio closure.
It sucks that the likes of The Last of Us Factions and Marvel Spider-Man got cancelled so early, but they fucking released Concord. It's a little bit baffling of the you've got two great IPs that are adored by fans that loved Factions in the first Last of Us. That's got to be, like, even in a somewhat lesser state, people would have enjoyed that more than what Concord had. Like, it either must have been, like, absolutely atrocious, or Naughty Dog just couldn't get it to work properly.
I have my theory on where they both went, but that's cool.
It is problematic to know that, you know, of these 12 games, more than 3/4 of them are just done now. And it sounds like they were relying on these to kind of be able to spread out their single player titles a little bit further than they already are. And it's like, what's that beautiful quote by Bilbo Baggins? He feels like, butter spread across too much bread.
Mm.
And there's just, we're not getting anything. And these were supposed to be the gap fillers, and the gap fillers are just not doing their job. They're not getting to even, the majority of them aren't even getting the chance to attempt to fill the gap. It is very concerning that they've had what would amount to 12 different studios working on 12 different games that ultimately have gone nowhere.
Well, granted, yes, like Marathon and Fair Games, we're yet to see. There is still potential for them to release. But Max, you may return to your EB Games browsing, because I'm about to rant something fucking fierce.
No, okay, girl, I'm. You feel me?
It's like, no, I'm already on the website.
I actually closed it.
So there's a couple of different things here that catch my attention. Now, I did also like do a big info dump rant at my partner, so I'm probably just going to repeat a lot of the things. I believe that this is, yeah, as I said, demonstrative of the entire problem within the games industry at large. So we had Jim Ryan, an individual who has been with PlayStation for a large window of time. However, not a developer, not a player of games, and we know this by his inability to hold a fucking controller. So the decisions that have made to channel so many of PlayStation's first-party studios into live service games with what I can only assume and what we're seeing is for the sole reason of financial gain. Now, granted, it is a games industry. It is a games business. It is all about the money, and we are in this predicament and this challenge where art and commerce kind of merge, and it's not always awesome.
Before you go too far,
yes,
we also have the likes of Herman Holst in charge to a degree, and by all accounts, he was campaigning for Concord.
Mm.
He is a developer. He should have known better.
No, I'll get to that. I got thoughts on him too.
Okay, I'll let you continue ranting, man.
Once again, we got a suit. Who just want, how can we make more money? What's really hot right now? Live service games. Everyone fucking like that's what we want. And like the failure to comprehend or to even understand the industry at large, that is you pumping out 12 live services, like you're not, what you're vying for is not people's wallets. What you're vying for is people's time. And you can't load them with 12 live services. It's simply not possible. We all only have so much time in our day or in our lives to play games. And many of us have games that we are married to. Now, I don't particularly because I'm full ADHD and I can't play just one game. But where, Max, you have been married to Destiny for the longest time, right? That was your games as a service. That's what drew you in. That's what kept you around. So no matter whatever you experienced, you did always come back to Destiny.
Yeah.
Every game...
About to win me back too.
Was it, sorry?
It's about to win me back.
See?
New act drops next month.
Yeah.
It's going to pull me back in.
And by extension, it's going to take a lot for people to give up that time to play something new. That something new better be fucking incredible. And that's where something like Concord failed to deliver. It was generic. It was bland. It was derivative in almost every possible sense. Like, the game was fine. It was functional. It played. And it wasn't horrible. And like, it wasn't just this broken hot mess. But it didn't offer anything new to the space. It didn't offer anything brilliant or that would grip you, that would make you want to put all this time into the game or even spend additional money if it had DLC or if it cost to enter in the same way that Concord does.
I mean, the big problem is they're also just cutting their own lunch by making fucking 12s.
Exactly, right? All they're doing is taking all these teams that have expertise in another form of creation in their single-player experiences or whatever, and they're asking them to make something new. In the same way that BioWare, when they switched from what they knew at the time, which was your Dragon Ages, etc., not the new one, and then they introduced Anthem, many people within the development team up and fucking scooted because they didn't want to make that. They were not at BioWare to make a live service game. They're there to make awesome RPGs. And same can be said for like Guerrilla. When Guerrilla transitioned from Killzone into Horizon, there was some, presumably a loss of talent, as some people were like, no, I'm here to make shooters, I'm sorry, and they fucking scoot. And that's fine. However, all of that feels like it's for nothing, knowing that all these studios have gained this extra knowledge, they've spent all this time to learn how to make a live service game, and it just got scrapped. And I can assure you they're not being replaced with making a new live service game. They are being tasked back to what they used to do. And if we look at, you know, once again, examples like Last of Us, Marvel Spider-Man, two studios that are known for making ripper single-player experiences. I imagine, and this was kind of confirmed with Last of Us, Spider-Man, maybe not, but the presumption is there. I think very quickly they realized that we cannot support these games in the long term because we don't have time. We could never make anything else. Everyone, it seems like most suits or people on boards or that are making these larger decisions fail to understand that a live service game is an investment. You better go in with the fucking intention to commit. and do it right. Because if we think to examples like Avengers, that game, like, it launched, it was disappointing, it was busted. So they spent the time that they should have been preparing for a DLC, fixing the game. So when the date came for them, when they should have been giving you your first batch of DLC, instead they're releasing patches to fix the game. Anyone that would have hung around to that date had likely already gone, and it just set them, and they just failed for the rest of the time. This would have happened here as well. Because, you know, Naughty Dog would have, even if they'd made it, put it, released it out, they would have gone, yeah, we can't commit to this for the next fucking 6 years. Or even like, you know, as a, like Bungie with their 10-year plan. Now, London was just a shame. I can't speak about that at all. But looking at life, looking at Bend, right? Bend Studio, they hadn't made a game from PS2. It was a Logan Siphon Filter, Logan Shadow, until Days Gone. They did do some support work on like the Vita or whatever. But Days Gone was their first big fucking console game in like two generations. The game launched a bit rough, but Days Gone is very, very good. I enjoyed it quite a lot. Now, apparently by some, it was known for quite a while, they're working on a live service game. What it makes me think about is, I remember when the news broke that, you know, the two major heads at Bend, after working with them since the studio's inception, both left, and both left on pretty bad terms. Like, you can see them on social media now just cracking the shits all over the place, right? I believe that the decision to pivot to a live service game is what made them quit. They lost that talent, and now that they're at a point where they're canceling that fucking game and not even delivering it, it was all in vain. That is disgusting. And all, like, this team who spent a long time working on Days Gone to then start something new, you know, presumably under direction of somebody else, to then not deliver it is insane. And even then, right, let's go to that next one. The one was also cancelled this week. This God of War game from Bluepoint. Now, Bluepoint did do support work on Ragnarok to assist it heading into its release. However, Bluepoint's expertise is not in new IP. It is not in live service. It is making awesome fucking remakes and remasters. Now, Max, they may have done some original IP back in the day. However, as a studio, they've adapted and changed to really heavily focus on that skill set. When they came on board into PlayStation First Party Studios, we weren't sitting here discussing, oh my God, they're going to make some incredibly new IP. They are going to then be put tasked with either remaking and or remastering incredible old games. They did it with the Uncharted trilogy. They did it with Demon's Souls. Like, there is the potential.
Would you like to know what they've done?
Absolutely.
I don't think they've actually done any of their own stuff. So they did the God of War collection.
Yep.
They did Ico and Shadow of the Colossus collection. They did the Metal Gear Solid HD collection. They did the Nathan Drake collection. Mm-hmm. They did the remaster for Gravity Rush. They did Shadow of the Colossus on PS4. And they did Demon's Souls on PS5. And they supported on PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, garbage game, Flower, Titanfall, and God of War Ragnarok.
Yeah. So,
They did the 360 port for Titanfall.
Now, granted, this is not an original IP. This is God of War, right? And that adds another layer of confusion to this for me. Max, it is well known, it is well documented that I adore God of War as an overall franchise, but particularly 2018 and Ragnarok. They are, without a doubt, within my favorite games of all time. So the idea of a live service God of War game should get me excited. I should be that target audience. But when I heard this news, I literally out loud said, what the fuck? Because God, like, unlike Horizon, which I think we discussed this last week, in a different conversation, but in a similar vein, where the idea of an online Horizon game sounds awesome because the world and the robots, all of them are way more interesting than Aloy. Aloy is part of it, but the world and everything you experience is way more exciting. So to make a live service game where you go in as a team and to take down fucking Trematusks and Thunderjaws, whatever, that's mental. But a God of War game, which even the original, they were so heavily driven about Kratos and his story, and then same goes, even doubles down in 2018 and Ragnarok, games as a service, we can't all be playing Kratos. It would have, like, let's just say it's like some sort of fucking hero-based thing, right?
Of course you can. You're thinking of games as a service too literally.
Well, let me finish my thought, because I'm very curious on that, but I'd like to hear.
We've had this discussion, but
I'm happy if you go it again. But like, I look at it, as that sense of multiplayer, like an ongoingly supported, you know, experience, right? That's how I initially saw it. So the idea of like, oh, do you want to play a game where you could be like Freya and Baldur and the guy over there and whatever, and then, you know, do you want to do a hero combat game, or do you want to do like a MOBA? Like, all of those sound fucking horrendous.
Super God of War Smash Brothers.
That sounds awesome. That would
be fucking great.
That would be awesome. So awesome. And so like from there, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? So the two parts of that sentence, or three parts of that sentence, live service, God of War, Blue Point, demonstrates such a fundamental misunderstanding of both the IP, what PlayStation are known for and do fucking good, and even what their studios do well. It's baffling to me. Now, I know you and I have discussed, like, Valhalla was kind of a twist on God of War, which is a roguelike, and you could sprinkle some games as a service. Is that kind of where you were going, sort of, like, taking that?
Super easily. So obviously, when you play it, I haven't actually played it, but my understanding is you play through, essentially, battle arenas like you can do in the base game.
Yeah, you just do
and
runs.
Your ultimate enemy is Tyr, right?
Yes.
Why can't you add a different god in at the end? Mm. You have a different, because it tells a story between you and Tyr as you're progressing through it, and as you're playing and as you're failing and as you're retrying. Bring it over to the next god. Bring it over to the next god. Bring it over to the next god. Add different modifiers. Add different enemy types. You can pull from the original lore of God of War. Bring some of the Greek gods back from that pantheon, and you play it as a. You can run it as like a memory remembrance simulator, akin to like the Pensieve of Harry Potter, where you dive back into your memories and you relive those battles and they only have to release one a month. And they've got 2 years worth of content just by adding in a different god each month,
like
different rooms, different traps, different points. You're thinking. You're sucking that too literal games of a service needs to be like the successful ones.
Are you telling me that once again? I mean by this, like, because that idea
that's a way they could do it and justify it and still not like betray the character and the game for what it is.
Look, that concept in and of itself is not horrible, right? It's not bad. If it's the lesser of the evils. However, do you truly believe that the conversations, whether it be within Herman Holst or Jim Ryan or whomever, that is the pitch they would have given? Or it would have been, God of War is really popular. How can we make recurring income from God of War? Because, like, buying a boss or a DLC once a month, that is not the money that they want. Like, the behaviors at which they are handling this, they want a Fortnite, they want a Diablo, they want Apex, you know, they want...
But they clearly don't, because Concord wasn't that. That was a buy the game and your characters will be free from then on.
But they made their little twist to it, right? But it is still at its core, they wanted the experiences to align with them. They know they did make the little tweaks, but predominantly it is that. Sorry, my hands off screen. Predominantly it is that. So with the sole purpose, the only reason that you want to push 12 fucking live games as a service is because you want there to be one that gives you millions of dollars a month. They want a Fortnite. They want something that would give them a passive amount of income. And like, although that God of War idea of yours, I'd mentioned, it's the lesser of all the evils. It's not horrible. I like it because I wouldn't mind experiencing more lore, but I can assure you that is not what they're going to be pushing. Like this Horizon one, I think would be more in line because they can do, you know, they can bring in more dinos. They can charge you for fucking gems and shit. They can charge you for shards and tanks of fucking blaze. You know, like that is where they can throw all those additional bits of dollars in where like I don't initially in my immediate reaction see that happening in God of War. And that's the sole idea. Now, fair games and Marathon, we have no idea what they're going to be. I don't want to comment on them too much.
Marathon's a shooter, so. Yeah,
but that'd be pretty cool. But like,
Bungie aren't going too far out of their way, huh?
Exactly. Like, Bungie's probably like reasonably safe. It's an old IP, but it's in a new way. That could go either way, right? But to Herman Holst, the interesting thing here is if we think about this as, and it's, once again, now we speculated at the time, they had one CEO, he retired, quote unquote, and then was replaced with two individuals, one to cover hardware, one to cover software. Now that also makes sense in a good business management. No one is good at both things. That is fine. But I know Herman, I do believe Herman is responsible for this. I did quite like this analogy. I heard Horizon be referred to as the Avatar of video games, as in it makes a stack of money and it's always around, but no one really fucking likes it, or no one really, no one enjoys the Avatar movies. I like the analogy because it's funny. I think Horizon is brilliant. I really, really enjoy it. Like the world, the game, the characters, everything. So it's not quite Avatar, because Avatar is just straight shithouse. But yeah, Herman, I think, is very like pushed Horizon. I don't know, like in now, I also don't believe he's the person to correct this ship either. Because we're looking at this, and if all these studios have lost so much time to developing games that will never see the light of day. Now, granted, not every game that enters development goes to the end. We talk about Corey Barlog and Sony Santa Monica's a space game that they were looking at prior to making God of War, you know, it puts in that space. But then on top of that, let's have a look at the list of PlayStation first party studios, because I assure you the rest of generation's fucking bleak. So Ben Studio, we knew they were, as we now know, working on a games as a service. There's nothing coming from the immediate future. Blue Point, same. Fire Sprite, best known, you know, for this, that, the other. Hang on, is Fire Sprite still going, isn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Fire Sprite's still going. The last, you know, their last thing they did was Horizon Call of the Mountain, and they did The Persistence, so nothing probably coming out of them in the immediate future. Guerrilla, same dealio. We know they've got stuff coming, but nothing in the immediate future. Haven, fair games. Housemarque, they've not released or announced anything since Returnal, but you know, listening to Sacred Symbols this week, they were joking, but it's also something to worth considering, is like, has Housemarque been caught up into this? Have they gone, oh, maybe we can get them to make a live service game as well? Now, I imagine we would have heard about it by now, but if they're willing to like consider about butchering and blasting things like God of War, who's to say they wouldn't put Housemarque in there? Insomniac and...
Returnal 2, you pay for... It's an old arcade game. You pay to continue.
That would be asshole. Insomniac, we're aware about. Media Molecule, spent an ungodly amount of time working on fucking Dreams and have really nothing to show for it. Naughty Dog, they're in the middle of making... Like, their thing at the moment is Intergalactic, the Heretic Prophet, and that would be coming in the next 2 years, I assume. 3 years, maybe. Nixus, solely their PC ports, what they're there for. But I'm sure they're going to make a live service game now. That seems to be the pattern. Polyphony, Gran Turismo, that's kind of it. San Diego, MLB The Show, that's their thing, and the belief that there's a secondary team there that's working on something else. San Mateo, which is support. Santa Monica, God of War, that's what they're working on. Sucker Punch, Ghost of Yotai is their next big thing.
Pardon me.
Asobi have just done Astrobot, so they'll be pretty quiet for a
don't
while.
I forget, Yotai's coming out this year.
Yeah,
so
that's what I'm saying. It's going to drop. And
they would have realistically, if assuming they have something in the pipework, they would be in pre-production for that.
Yeah, early concept if they're planning something post-Yotai. But even then, yeah, like that's 3 years, 4 years, 5 years of development time that just won't happen. And then Valkyrie, which are a support studio, so they're not going to be pumping out any of their own stuff. The point I'm making here, Max, is the back end of this generation doesn't look that rad. Like, we were always hoping that they were holding on to something.
It's because Insomniac blew their load in the first year and released, like, 30 games.
Also, like, Wolverine, no one knows what's fucking going on there, too. And also, I did blow the load, and that leak really didn't help them. But I'm sitting here looking at this, and I look at this very cynically. I do believe there are some parts of this that are quite dire. I think the mismanagement of all these games and studios is next level. Am I being hyperbolic? And the answer is yes. But like, where do you sit in all of this? Alongside everything I've just said,
it's gonna be an interesting next few years. They're gonna have to do something. As the great Shuhei has said in a recent interview, if we want new IPs, we need to have faith in the remasters. Because that's what's going to get us there. The remasters are going to tie us over while they work on the things in the background. Yep. The remasters will earn them enough money to keep paying their staff while they're working on the new things, and we shouldn't be so overly judgmental of our 30 versions of The Last of Us. But, you know.
Well. But, of course, this then does tie in to our next story.
Yeah, so new year, new showcase of rumors, everybody. Sony's next State of Play livestream will take place next month in February, according to the leaker who just correctly suggested that the Nintendo Switch 2 would be announced this week. Responding to a user on Twitter asking about the next possible State of Play showcase, Nate Drake responded with, quote, "How's February sound?" A State of Play taking place in February would not be anything unusual from Sony, as the company has hosted the event in that month for the past 4 years. Either through general presentations or one focused on a single game, the likes of Death Stranding 2 on the beach and Ghost of Yotai could be headliners for a potential upcoming State of Play, since both are slated to arrive in 2025. As for the claim itself, Nate Drake has proven over the months to be a reliable member of the industry, with their most famous suggestion today coming true of the Nintendo Switch 2 reveal. Recently, they have also said that the Halo Master Chief Collection will be coming to PlayStation 5 this year.
Yeah, and we touched upon that last week. I think that'll be the last thing we ever get. I'm willing to be wrong, so I'll play it again. Bouncing off what we just said, I sure fucking hope so, because they better start explaining what the hell they're working on. Or I imagine like every showcase and or State of Play for the foreseeable future would just be like, hey, here's all these second parties we're working with. What? You know, like it just has to be. Has to be. And that's both like awesome and poo. Because what I love about PlayStation is the first party, you know, story driven single player experiences. That's what I fell in love with. That's what I want to experience. That's what I want more of. And like in previous times when they've announced showcases and State of Plays, we're like, oh, should we do a predictions? And a lot of it is I can't fucking think of what they're going to do. It's worse now. If you're like, what would be in this showcase? Like, I don't fucking know. No idea.
Not Bloodborne 2.
Not Bloodborne 2. Yeah, the one studio that would have been working on it would have been Bluepoint. And what are they doing? Not fucking Bloodborne.
I'm going to take the quick bits too, because there's only two. PlayStation revealed a new Astrobot speedrun level at the finals of the PlayStation tournaments.
It looked pretty good, but I assume they're not releasing it, right? Like, it's just kind of an in one use thing, right?
I don't know. I think they are releasing it. Be weird if they didn't. And Dragon Ball Sparking reveals its first DLC pack that features 11 characters, 8 of which are copies of Gohan and Piccolo.
Yes! An absolutely true fucking BBZ four fashion.
Gohans, there's 4 Gohans, 4 Piccolos, and 3 other dudes.
Wait, what Gohans are not already in the game?
And that's for the movie, so there'll be like a Gohan Beast Mode.
Oh, yeah, because that new movie's coming out soon, yeah.
It's out, man.
Is it? Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, man. So, like, after seeing Sonic 3 last week and then looking at it going, the final battle is just Goku versus Vegeta and it was sick, I was like, oh, maybe I should work. Like, I downloaded by means, because it's not on any platform that I'd want to pay for, DBZ Kai. Like, I want to see, because James fucking blasted at the Sonic. I was like, oh, maybe he's giving a DBZ. Like, he's just enough, you know, energetic teenage boy.
Just watch Dragon Ball Z abridged on YouTube.
Nah, I'm going to watch Kai. I'll give him Kai. Go. It's only like 100 episodes. It's comparatively to like the nonsense that is the regular fucking series. But... yeah, cool.
Oh, and you put in the chat, season pass holders get Sparking DLC early today.
Ooh, wait, is that us?
Oh, I think that's us.
Woohoo! Shout out to Square Enix.
I didn't realize that.
Bandai Namco. The series. Go watch Kai. I should go watch Kai. It looked good. And it's on Blu-ray, so it's all pretty.
Which Daima? It's on fucking Netflix.
Which one?
Daima.
Is the new one. Isn't that like that's like a new series though? Yeah.
Yeah, it's where they're all children again.
Yeah. All right. So that does bring us to the end of the news section. However, we aren't done just yet, Max. Normally we wrap the shop, but it is time for our video games draft. Now, nor did I expect to like rant so long, so I do apologize. But lucky we started early this week.
Oh, mate, we are ahead of schedule on my book. I thought we wouldn't get here till about 9 o'clock.
Oh, brilliant. Excellent. What time is it? Oh, it's 8:30. 8:40. Okay, we can make this work. All right, so we are doing things a little bit differently this year. Last year and the previous times that we have done this, we have had it that the listenership, our community, would have given us a selection of game, like a pool of games to choose from. However, we've decided this year, like, let's just rip it up and see where it takes us. 6, 7, 8. Now, we are still going to go with 8 games apiece. There can be no duplicates. Neither of us can have the same title. Scores will be from Metacritic. If there is a PS5 and a PS4 version, we will be selecting the PS4 version as the number at which will come from. And if it, you know, must release within this calendar year, or up until we do our, you know,
it must release before the last, the
yeah,
final must, show.
Yeah, before the last episode of For the Players by the end of the year, we do our wrap up. Outside of that, it's pretty chill. It just must come to PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I won last year.
You won.
Year?
So apparently, I'll go first.
So we normally do that exchange, but that's when we normally have the pool to pick from. I think we flip
are you trying
a
coin. To justify? Are you trying to justify yourself the GTA 6 spot?
No. I'm just saying we.
I'm happy to flip a coin. Yeah,
like, yeah. We've changed it. The advantages worked in a different way. I want it to be just a big rando.
I don't have an actual coin, but I've got a digital coin flip.
Yep.
Can, do you trust me enough to?
I absolutely do
result?
Trust you.
All right, call it then.
Heads.
Ted.
Beautifuls.
All yours.
All right, cool. I guess I'll go first. Now, as like you joke, but like I am probably just going to pick GTA 6 as my first. I think it's probably the safest bet. So I'm going to go with that. For a couple of reasons, as I said, it is going to be likely the most successful video in entertainment piece. And presumably it will rank like late 80s. Or, you know, at worst, at absolute worst. So what's GTA 5's? Because even the port to PS5. Metacritic, Grand Theft Auto 5 on PS5. Let's see.
It's 97.
97, so like...
No, hang on, that's for PS4.
But there is also a user review of 3. On January 12, 2025, some guy gave it a 3.
On PS5, it's 81.
Okay. Yeah, look, even then, that's in the window. I want to fuck with 80s and 90s, right? That's where I want to hang out. So I'm okay with that. Done. GTA 5 is my number one. It'd be crazy for it to do anything worse. Max, what's yours?
Monster Hunter Wilds.
Damn, that's going to be my next one. Why do you believe this will do well?
Capcom have been absolutely fucking killing for the last few years. Monster Hunter is one of their biggest and most favorable IPs, and I played it a couple of weeks ago, and it's fucking mint, so I hope.
Yeah, look, I'm in the same boat. Monster Hunter most certainly is not in my wheelhouse. We tried to play... Worlds together. Even if I played it myself, it just didn't sing to me. And this is where I hope that like this Horizon game, whenever it does come out, is in line and I can enjoy it. Good pick. I think that will do exceptionally well. Hence why it was also on my criteria list. My second one, my number two, is Death Stranding 2 on the beach. Now, I understand that this could either go two ways. I believe the wank of Kojima and everyone's love for it will give it some extra bumps, which will put it in that nicer window. However, as we saw with the likes of, Leo, whatever his outlet here is, where he gave it a 3 out of 10. I think he's objectively wrong for Death Stranding 1. So I believe Death Stranding 2 on the beach will be something cool. I think it's something great. I believe in Kojima. I believe in the game. I thought the first one was immaculate. I know you did.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think... I think 2 will go well. You say?
Yeah.
Would have that been on your list?
It is on my list. Ah. But that's fine. I figured you'd take it.
Be cool.
Next up for me is Elden Ring Nightreign.
Oh, yeah. I didn't put that on my list at all because I knew that was going to go to you.
Former Game of the Year winner, Elden Ring. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, absolutely. I do wonder, the only thing that concerns
me... I think they've gone from a niche genre to an even more niche genre inside of a niche genre, and that may fuck them, but...
Yeah. Like, if that multiplayer integration
I don't think it'll matter. I think the Elden Ring Giga Chads don't want to play with other people anyway, and they want to fucking solo it anyway.
Yeah, probably. But that would be the thing. Like, if it's built in such a way that it has to be done in multi,
One or three players.
Yeah.
One or three.
Oh, it's one or three. Okay.
Yeah. You can Giga Chat it up. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, that would absolutely happen then. Let me have a look at this.
I'm pre-typing what I think you might pick.
All right, what do you think it's going to be?
Judas? Is that on your list at all?
It is on my list, but I...
Not that high up on your list?
No, not that high up on my list. Is it on your list?
It is on my list.
Should I pillage it now?
It's also not that high up on my list.
Mm.
It may be on the very bottom of my list.
I'm willing to hold off on Judas. I like it. I think it will be interesting. You know, dude that made Bioshock looks pretty rad. No, I won't grab it on this round. Instead, I will go with Doom Dark Ages.
Well, that's not even on my list.
Couple of reasons. Doom is sick. I think this looks great. I think this will be awesome. It is coming to, you know, it is coming to PlayStation. So that's although it's, you know, id part of Bethesda ZeniMax over with Microsoft, but with Ragnarok with 2016 being fantastic, and the sequel being really good too. I hope this is continuing that path. The lack of Mick Gordon makes me sad, and that will bump it down for me personally, but I have faith that they will deliver. Max, you're number 3.
Since we're picking Microsoft games, I'm going to pick Indiana Jones and the Lost
Ark. Damn it! That was on my list, because I'm like, that's a shoo-in. Because, like, at best case scenario, it was going to match what it got on Xbox, which is, like, what, 80-something?
89.
Yeah. Damn. Well done.
Indiana Jones and the Circle Boy.
and the Great Circle Jerk. What was your logic? Was your logic that same?
It was just a safe pick. Yeah. And it was very well received on Xbox, so we can only be better on PlayStation.
Oh, sick burn. All right, I got to scratch that off my list. Let's see. Dun, dun, dun. Now, my number 4, halfway down the middle. I'm going to go with Sid Meier's Civilization 7.
Mm-hmm. One of my most looked forward to games.
Well, that is not
on my list at all.
That is the reason I'm thinking about it. Like, I think there's a lot of people that are quite excited for this game. It's been a while. I think there's a lot of interest in it for that reason. Pardon me. I think there's good expectation. It should deliver, hopefully.
For my 4th, I'm going to pick another previous Game of the Year winner. I'm going to pick Splitgate from Joseph Fares.
Oh, that was on my list, yeah.
I'm going to take Split Fiction.
Split Fiction, that's right.
Or Split Gate. That's a
Split Gate is a whole different game.
I definitely don't want that on my list.
No.
Yeah, Split Fiction.
I heard the split part, and I was like, oh, I think that's the one I'm thinking of. But yeah, look, I did consider having this on my list. I think it's a safe bet. Joseph Farris is brilliant, as is the team at Hazelight. I think that would be interesting. Would be very, very interesting. I am going to go with, for my fifth pick, Like a Dragon Pirate Yakuza.
Dick.
with the ever-growing success of the Yakuza French series, or like the now Like a Dragon, I can never remember the name of the studio. It's like three words, and I can never say it properly. Something Gudakai or
no. It's Ryuga Gotoku.
Ryuga Gotoku. Like, thank you, Mute, in the chat. And lasers and pirate ships, man. Like, yeah, it's a big win. Tick, tick, tick. It seems to me like an easy win. It's taking what everyone loves about Yakuza and making it extra silly, which is also something everyone loves about Yakuza. I have good hopes for this. I think that's certainly up there as a good, enticing pick. All right. Max, number five.
Number five for me, my list is getting very small. I'm going to take Ghosts of Yotai.
Nice. All right, fill us in. What's your...
Sucker Punch did a great job with Ghost of Tsushima. If this is even half of what they achieved the first time, it's going to be a banger.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for more like a legend style multiplayer gameplay that dives deep in like the supernatural lore of the area as well.
Now I know I'm like showing my hand here, but the initially blur response to Ghost of Yotei is what made me put it later in my list.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way that you're not going to see Assassin's Creed Shadows on my list, because I believe that will not be well. And even whether it be the game be fine, that's not a sentence, whether the game is fine, I do believe the larger narrative and discussion...
Not on my list either.
In the same vein of like, you know, Yotei and Shadows, I think it'll be kind of pooped on by the anti-work brigade, and I think that will impact its larger score. So hence why I didn't put it on my list. But I do believe in Sucker Punch that would deliver something good. I can cross that out because I don't need that one. That one's off the list. That one's off the list. All right. Number six for me is The Outer Worlds 2. So I know like it's an interesting year for Obsidian. They've got Avowed coming out in a couple of weeks, and then Outer Worlds coming out a little bit later in the year. I love The Outer Worlds. I think it's awesome. Really, really enjoyed it. Looking at that trailer, like they've clearly taken everything from the first and ramped it up into the second. Obviously, we can't use Avowed. It's not coming to PlayStation. But I think that there is a strong likelihood that the game would at least hit 80s. At least. Maybe it's not a 90s, but it's probably a late 80s, maybe early 80s, maybe late 70s. Max, your number six?
Lost Soul Aside.
Oh, man, I didn't even think about that one. Why is that on your list?
It is a Max game, therefore it is on Max's list. Now, it doesn't have a solid concrete date in 2025, so
yeah,
hopefully...
that's a risk.
Hopefully it doesn't fuck me, but... There's gameplay demos have been shown, which again, not always the safest bet that they're on track, but looks great. I think it'll do well. I think on the back end of, obviously it's different enough, but on the back end of the popularity of Black Myth Wukong last year, I think a lot of those Souls likes are going to get some love this year. And I think this is going to be one of them.
I like your thinking. I really, really do. Now, I do kind of want to, like, fuck around with my last two picks a little bit. But I also don't. because, like, you know, Judas is here on my list, and I am interested in it. I do think it would be cool.
Is Atomfall on your list?
Atomfall is not on my list. I did look at some of those AA sort of games. I was like, okay, like, there is some solid. I could do have some, an indie selection in here.
Okay.
And I might put that. Actually, I'm going to put that in here now. I think just for the novelty alone, Mouse PI for Hire.
Mouse PI for Hire.
So this is the first-person shooter title. It's an independent game by the looks. It's from Playside Studios. It is from Playside Studios here in Victoria. It is very reminiscent of old-school Disney in that sort of stylized Cuphead sort of feel, but with a first-person perspective. I think the novelty of it alone will at least pique some interest. Whether it'll be brand or not, I'm willing to take the risk. So, Max, you're number seven.
Okay, so this is my questionable pick. I don't know. So
let's discuss it.
It released in China in December last year, but hasn't released here yet. It's due out in the fall.
Okay.
Technically, it released after we stopped recording.
What's the title?
It's Where Winds Meet.
All right. I'm going to take this. Direct this to the chat. We're here on Twitch. We've got some people watching. Is there a Metacritic score for it currently?
Let me have a look. Doubt it, because it's only available in China. It has one review on PC.
Okay. So I am willing to...
It has a TBD for PS5. And there's one review on PC.
Okay. So with that in mind, I am willing to allow it because there is currently no reviews for it on PlayStation. It's the same rules at which we use for Indiana Jones. What was it called again? Sorry, When Winds Meet?
Where Winds Meet.
Excellent. Cool. So... now, looking at the back, my last couple on my list here, I haven't quite decided where I'm going to go. So the choices I have left that I thought would be interesting was Mafia Old Country.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the other Mafias ranking high, so that was hence why it's staying late. I'm excited for it, but it could be interesting. 2 Point Museum, I think, would be fun. What did 2 Point Hospital and 2 Point Campus get previously?
Oh, why did it say half it on the page? 2 Point Campus is sitting at an 83, 2 Point Hospital sitting at an 83.
Okay. The other one I had was Borderlands 4. I think there's quite a risk that's going to be Buttholes. So I've not put it on there.
That's also on my list too.
I did also consider Little Nightmares 3.
Is also on my list as well.
But with it not being made by Supermassive, I am concerned for it.
They were all my backup games in case you picked too many of the games that I've had on my
list. And then, Judas on the list, of course. Ken Levine. Very intriguing. Probably a good pick. And then one I put in there for funsies. Because you picked a Max-ass game. I'll pick a Betson-ass game. I'm thinking maybe WWE 2K25. But I forget how 24 reviewed. I think it reviewed well. Metacritic on PlayStation. WWE 2K24 reviews are sitting at an 81. Oh, shit. All right. Well, in that case, I am currently tossing up between 2 Point Museum and WWE 2K25. Now, seeing as you made a max ass pick, I think I might go with 2K25. I would ask for your opinion, but
For 2K25, I'd do it. I think my last pick is going to be another max ass pick.
Mm. All right. Well, yeah, yeah. Fuck it. Let's do it. It would be disingenuous of me to like pick something that isn't a franchise I care dearly about. Done. My number 8 is WWE 2K25. Max, what's yours? What's your final pick? What's your last list?
No joke. So I originally had Fable on my list, thinking that it's going multi-plat.
It is not, as far as we're aware.
As far as we're aware, it's not. So the things that are left on my list that we haven't touched on are Adam Fall.
I'll explain a little bit as to why. So why would Adam Fall be on your list?
Adam Fall just looked kind of cool. It's one of those post-apocalyptic survival things, but it's set in an alternate history in the 1960s. So, like, it kind
of... There's hooks there of what could be engaging, yeah.
Well, what was that game that we played? Was it last year or the year before that was absolutely asshole where...
The fridge tried kinda, to fuck you?
Yeah.
Atomic Heart. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think this is going to be the winner.
That DLC come out recently.
That genre should have been.
Yeah. Because, yeah, they did also...
And then, yeah, obviously there was Little Nightmares on my list because the last two games have been great. This one has a stick for multiplayer, but again, it's not being made by the original people. So that was kind of like... Mm.
Yeah, same as me, yeah.
I also had... What else did I have on my list? Let's scroll through it. I had Borderlands as well, but I'm not sure how... that's going to be received because Borderlands 3 wasn't great. I had Clair Obscur Expedition 33 on my list.
Yeah, that one I didn't put on my list, but I was very confident would have been in yours.
It is on my list. I'm not sure if I'm going to... Path of Exile 2 is on my list because it's supposed to be fully released this year.
Mm.
But I think that's like too easy of a pick. The other one is Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 is on my list.
Now, we had a side discussion earlier today. Now, all these games, part of the criteria is that, like, we haven't played them. And we haven't played them yet. Where Kingdom Come Deliverance, although it hasn't released yet, we have played it and experienced it, which in turn adds a perception into how we think it may score. Now, yeah. We can't discuss that as part of our embargo agreement. So we can't even tell you what we think it will score. But, yeah. That was just, that's why it's not on my list. I thought that'd be quite rough.
Had we
put that on the list?
Dynasty Warriors was on my list until I realized it came out before we were recording.
Yeah, it absolutely came out like 2 weeks ago. In the week, not even.
It came out 3 days
ago. 3 days ago. Holy shit, there you go.
The 17th that came out. Look, so I will, for my last one, I will go with... What am I going to go with? There's a game coming out next month. In March. That I'm going to adore that I don't think is going to score well, and that's Bleach Rebirth of Souls.
Yeah. I thought you would have picked like Suikoden or something because those remasters are coming and they'll probably score.
Yeah, but I won't play them. I feel like it's something that I want to pick something that I want to play as well.
Actually, yeah, pretty much everything on my list I want to play. Even Civ. I'll give it a bill.
Oh, dude, I'm so excited for Civ. I cannot wait. All right, let's go with... Oh. I will pick Dying Light the Beast.
Oh, yeah. I did put on, but I couldn't remember.
Which is due out summer this year. So you did NBA 2K this year.
Yeah, that is absolutely looking to come this year. I got Bleach for $10 off because Amazon messed up pricing. Nice.
Nice.
There's mute in the chat. look, Dying Light's a good pick. It's kind of like a DLC that got pulled, feels like anyway.
Yeah. Dying Light's one of my favorite games of all time. So going back to the original protag of the first one, going back to Kyle Crane, awesome. I think it's gonna be right up my alley.
Alrighty. So let's go through these lists. I have selected number one, GTA 5. Number two, Death Stranding 2 on the beach. Number three.
He selected GTA 6, everybody, not GTA 5.
GTA 6. I only put the 5 because I was talking as we were fucking writing. I only wrote the 5. I did the V. I'm sure it'll get re-released again. GTA 6, I should say. Easy pick, safe pick. Number two, Death Stranding 2 on the beach. Number three, Doom the Dark Ages. Number four, Sid Meier's Civilization 7. Number five, Like a Dragon, Pirate Yakuza. Number six, The Outer Worlds 2. Number seven, Mouse PI for Hire. And number eight, WWE 2K25. Now for Max, your selections were number one, Monster Hunter Wilds. Number two, Elden Ring Night Reign. Number three, Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. Number four, Split Fiction. Number five, Ghost of Yotai. Number six, Lost Soul Aside. Number seven, Where Winds Meet. Number eight, Dying Light the Beast. Now, I feel I've picked a lot safer than you in your last couple being little wild cardies. Especially those, like, you know, Where Winds Meet and Lost Soul Aside. I'm very reliant on big releases, big triple A's.
Dude, if GTA gets pushed, you're fucked.
I'm boned. Absolutely, like, boned. Yeah,
I think just that one thing will screw you. And I'm starting to believe that Death Stranding 2 is not fucking coming out this year, because Kojima is starting to have a whinge that he doesn't know how much longer he can be creative for during their crunch time.
Shit.
I have this feeling that might get pushed a little bit too.
Look, that's the problem when you play with the big boys, right? Like, you were aware that shit could go wrong. And like, Mouse for Hire is probably an interesting choice. I'm hoping that the novelty of it would give it some advantage in the same way, like Plucky
Squire. Steve 7's definitely coming, because that's out in like two or 3 weeks. Yeah, and there's like preview footage already out.
WWE's happening because of yearly thing.
Shit, hang on. Sorry, I wrote NBA 2K for you.
You said that out loud, you dingus. I heard you say it. I was like, what the fuck? But yeah, WWE 2K25, it's absolutely coming. We know it's coming, so it's easy. It's good. Good selections. Good selection on both our parts.
Dude, Tron Catalyst would have been a good one too.
I'm glad neither of us picked Hollow Knight.
Yeah, that's canceled.
I've ripped this off and I'm going to stick it here on my whiteboard so I don't lose.
Skate was originally on my list until I remember that it's only coming in early access.
Yeah, and we don't count early access. It's not a full release. Alrighty, well, that does wrap this bad boy up. Let's just get out of here, man. Let's just go.
Alrighty. All right, everybody. This PlayStation conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. I mean, if you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturists. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players.